welcome to the God is a Geek podcast. My name's Adam Cook, and I am joined this week by the Wario to my Waluigi, Chris White.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine, mate. How are you?
I'm not too bad, man. Not too bad.
I promised that I would just literally read off Amiibo from my shelf as I started last week, and I'm going to carry on doing it. You've heard his voice there. It's my namesake, but also the... hang on a sec. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to go with this one. The Bayonetta to my Cloud Strife. It's Adam Carroll.
I do have the same body as Bayonetta, so that's understandable. That's okay.
Yes, you do. How are you, mate?
Very good.
Good, I'm glad to hear it. There's a lot to talk about this week, as we always... Well, every week there's a lot to talk about, really. There's loads of news that we're going to get to. But we probably should start with the game we talked about last week, because the game's out now. We can talk about it in a review sense. Unfortunately, Nicola was unavailable for the recording, because I think it would have made this conversation better, but I have played a lot of State of Decay 2 as well, and I think Nicola likes it more than I do, amazingly, because I don't like this game.
Well, I heard you...
I think this game's bad.
I did see that you had a bit of an issue with your Jeep.
Yeah, I mean, that... It's not good enough, that, really, is it?
Do you know...
In a first-party game.
What was happening there?
I can't tell you. The vehicles are quite squirrely. They're quite... they move about a lot, and I just drove over a small little rock, and it just... I thought, oh, I can't get off the rock, and then I got off the rock, but ended up upside down. Yeah. And lost the vehicle. The only vehicle I had at that point in the game, unfortunately. This game... I don't know what happened with this game, because like I actually, for context, I quite liked the first one a lot. I liked it a lot, and I liked that when Microsoft bought Undead Labs, they put out like the Xbox One version, which was obviously, I think, had all the DLC. We talked about all this like last week, but I really liked that, and I think that a lot of people will say that the game made its name for having a really cool idea, and you know, being kind of janky. And I don't understand how this one feels more broken.
So where,
I don't understand it.
Where are the biggest issues compared to the first one? What have they improved? Because it seems to me, by the sounds of it, there seems to be nothing that's different. And
well, they've added co-op, which we played now, Nicola and I. And I don't think the co-op adds anything, because...
Really?
So, like, Chris and I played a bit of Far Cry 5 co-op. Yeah. We played quite a lot, actually. We streamed it at some point. And you remember how if... I think because it was when I was in your world, if I went too far away, did it just kill me or warp me back? I think it warped me back to you, didn't it?
Yeah, you just came back to me.
Right, and in that game, I think I can understand it, because in that game, it's quite clear about the fact that you are kind of just his wingman. Like, I'm just Chris's helper. I'm replacing one of his other helpers, like whether it's the dog or whatever. I'm just an extra person helping him out, and I think that makes sense. In State of Decay 2, I feel like the reason I was so excited about the co-op aspect is like, so you know, we can do four player, and you know, so the three of us on the podcast here, we're all in this world. We're all in Adam's world, let's say. And he's off with Chris, and they're in a petrol station, and they're clearing it out, and they're getting supplies, loading up a car. Meanwhile, I'm the other side of the map, sort of searching out some other stuff and trying to, you know, and at one point, us three and perhaps our fourth person, if Nicola was here, would go off in all four corners of the map and kind of then converge back on our home base, tuck all our stuff into the storage, and, you know, that's cool. In this, you just can't get far enough away from one another. Like, you can get, I think, we did test it, I can't remember exactly, but it was a few hundred meters away. I think it was like, it might have been 800 or 900 meters, but that's not that far, obviously. And then it just warps you back to them. And in this game, that feels stupid. It feels like, why did you bother? Because it's your world I'm helping, and I've got to stay with you. And like, in many ways, okay, I get it, because you know, what if you get killed, then what happens there? But in, again, this is a game where you aren't playing, like, Adam, you're not playing Link.
Yeah.
You're playing one of 5 or 10 survivors, and when one dies, you lose them, and you just take over another one, and they've all got their own skill set, so that's the whole point. I just feel like the co-op doesn't... Like, you are constantly bombarded with, hey, we need help. Hey, we need help. Hey, we are already in your camp, and you should go and look at this. Oh, we're sad because we've run out of food, but I've got a garden that is generating food. We've got no fuel, but I've got a generator that's generating fuel. Oh, you know, medical supplies are down. I've got a camp in the fucking garden that gives you medical supplies one every day. Like, why are you moaning about these things? I've built you a garden to give you food. I've built you a medical... You know, it's constant nagging you to do these tiny things. So you can never progress because every time you leave with a view to say, I'm going to go and kill some of these, I'm going to kill some plague hearts, I'm going to clear the area out, five things will nag at you over the radio. It's like, this is too much. And if I had a co-op partner who could go over to that other side of the map and do those things, that would be great, but I can't because you want them on my lap all the time. I got in another car and drove around while Nicola was driving in her car. But again, there's no point in that because I've got to stay quite close to, not, you know, I'm not literally in her lap, but I've got to stay reasonably close to her. So why even make it that I can drive a car?
Yeah,
because the whole point is I want to get that car. You know, I mean, it was lucky that I had a character who had an extra slot and was carrying fuel, because when I joined her world, I spawned on her quite far from base and she ran out of fuel. So I just got out and luckily I filled it up. Otherwise, you're in a big world of trouble. And that simulation side is what made the original so good. This game feels very buggy and like they doubled down on everything but didn't actually improve anything, you know?
Mm.
Like, I had a bug where one of my characters... So you got a breast lamp on, okay, that hangs from your... as you look on your left side. And it's this one of my characters in my camp... I can't be sure, but it was as though the lamp was clipping through her shirt. So imagine if you're wearing a T-shirt with then a shirt over the top and the torch should be clipped onto the shirt. It was like it was clipping through to the T-shirt. So you would still get some light come through, but it would be clipping... Again, the light would be projecting through the shirt. So every time I moved, it would just be jagged lighting everywhere.
Oh, that's irritating.
You know, that's not good enough. And this is a game, by the way, that is insanely dark. Now, you know that you get a lot of games do this where it's like, hey... You should be able to see this one you should barely be able to see, and this one you shouldn't be able to see at all. And everyone's like, yeah, all right, mate. And they just top it up so they can just about see the bottom one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This
yeah.
one, if you push all those settings up to max, it's still too dark. It is. And that's I don't want to keep ragging on it, and I want to give you a chance to speak, you guys as well, obviously. But like in, say, Dying Light, okay, which is in a way, it's a first person, you know, you're trying to survive while pushing a story on. You're going out and collecting resources in Dying Light, aren't you?
Mm.
But if you do that at night, it changes up the game, doesn't
Completely.
It?
Completely.
Yeah. I'm assuming you guys have both, you know, and also it rewards you more for doing it because going at night is infinitely more dangerous,
yeah.
Okay? In State of Decay 2, there is no more reward for going out at night. And it's harder because it's so dark. So why don't you just give me an option to sleep in a bed till the morning?
Yeah, that's...
Because there's no more reward for going out at night other than the fact you thought a day-night cycle would be cool to have in a game.
Yeah, and that's, like, using Dying Light as an example is absolutely spot on because that aspect of going out at nighttime to fight those, like,
yep.
I can't remember the name of them, but they were just absolutely terrifying and super fast. But if you kill them, you got good XP, you got good loot stuff. Like, that's the whole purpose of these things. So if State of Decay 2 is not doing that, then give me a fucking bed because I'm not going to bother going outside if it's just going to kill me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's the thing. It doesn't even kill you. It's just annoying because you can't see. You just can't see. I mean, Nicola and I both had the same bug because it turned out I don't know if it's a location bug, but like you're supposed to be able to park two cars in outside your house, but they never showed up for me on the system. They stay there, like the cars are there, but they never show up so you can do anything to them because you're supposed to be able to like fully Mad Max out your cars, but both of us hit the same bug where we couldn't. Or maybe, listen, someone listening may think it isn't a bug and we didn't see a tooltip, but like this game... assumes way too much. Like, it assumes you've played the first one relentlessly. And on top of that, the first one, I feel, and Nick and I both agreed on this, had a story. The first one's got a story. Not a, like a, you know, a massive in-depth story, but it had a story. This one just starts and doesn't really bother. It just goes, it's a survival sim. And it's like, that's okay. But again, I feel that's a bit of a step back.
Yeah, but it, just to go like back to the co-op there for a second, like, did you ever have, when you and Nicola were playing, did you ever have a moment where, okay, now it's running the way you would hope and you can see the fun? No?
Nope. No, because so she joined my world first, and she was getting lag and latency. And then another day, I joined her world, and I was getting lag. So every time you were a guest, we were getting like some form of, I don't know if it was actually latency. I mean, I've got good internet now. I think Nicola has the same. I don't think it was our connections, and if it was, that was on two different days. Using connections in different ways, you know, I don't think it was that. I don't know. Listen, they may have patched this all, and I don't think it's an awful game. I just think it's
not good enough for a sequel.
In many ways, it's not good enough for Microsoft's first. If they had more games, it would go unnoticed. Like, I think Sea of Thieves has merit to it. State of Decay 2 annoys me because that studio have some really good ideas, and I almost feel like Microsoft just went to them, look, we need games. We're your bosses now. This game is being released in May, and that's it.
Yeah,
and you're putting that game out, and that's it. Oh, but hang on. Sorry, Microsoft. Listen, we really could do with another probably 12 months. No, it's going out in May.
Mm.
Oh, sure. Well, all those cool ideas we had for co-op, let's just make it co-op, and we'll worry about that perhaps in a year's time. But I feel like this is a game that's going to be patched a lot, and that's kind of what's happening with State of Decay and Sea of Thieves as well.
Yeah.
What's the one of the things I loved about the original State of Decay, and I'm kind of hoping this is here to a point, was the kind of risk of going out and then like randomly you get attacked by zombies. Like how?
Yeah.
Because like you watch The Walking Dead and you'd completely unexpectedly they get attacked. Like does that happen, or is it kind of you read it pretty much all the time? Like because that
I never really got shocked by an attack. There was when I joined Nicola's world, I could hit. I just spawned in a random spot, and she was actually driving.
Yeah.
So she was going away from me. That's how we found out about the tether thing. But we didn't realise what was going on, so she carried on driving. And then before I got tethered again, I managed to say, "Hey, come back!" And there was like I could hear it. There's loads of zombies. And they were just like there was a what they call them swarms, and that did happen. But it was more a case of because you know it's a bit like. To be honest, I think Metal Gear Survive is probably a better game, like in terms of survival games at the moment. But then I think Metal Gear Survive is quite good. I think that got a raw doing. I think I got a raw doing that game. As this one feels like it again, I think there's a good game underneath. I think it needed more time. Like I think if it weren't a Microsoft first party game, this is what we'd be seeing in the preview program.
Mm.
You know.
Yeah.
And it sounds very much like they can't put a game out.
No Man's Sky, in the sense that they were like, go out, it's going out now, but we've got multiplayer, we've got this. No, we've asked you to put it out now. It's going out. Which is a shame.
But if you were to go back, Adam, like in a year's time, and all of a sudden you hear, State of Decay 2 is finally, it's finally the way it should be, are you going to go back? Like,
yeah, because I like what they're trying to do. I like the idea. I said that about the first game. I think what they are, I think there is it feels a bit like history repeating itself. Like, it is a better looking game, but I don't think it's good. You know, when people are going to hate me for saying this, but when Sony are putting out games that look like God of War and even the demo of Detroit, and to be fair, like Microsoft Sea of Thieves looks stunning. Like, no, anyone who's played that, Chris, you've played it, you know it looks amazing. But I just don't think this looks like. So, you know how with a game like Bloodborne, right? It's From Software develop it, okay? And Sony got the exclusive. They basically said, make us a game.
Yeah.
Make us one of those games you make. And they've done it. And then what Sony tend to do is they get their in-house studios to tart it up a bit and make sure it runs well. And they kind of then, that's when they throw the money at it. Like, they take that great idea and they go, right, let's really make this good. And Sony do that a lot, I feel like. I feel like they've got maybe like, it almost like the old Nintendo seal of quality. They get a game, they go, right, this is now we throw the money at it. I kind of hoped that's what this was going to be. Like, it's a Microsoft first-party game. They were going to take that team, that idea, and go, put your arm around them now. It's like, it's all right, lads, you're with us now. You're with the big boys. You're with the big money boys. We're going to make this game. That idea you had, that's what this is going to be. And I don't feel like they have.
Yeah.
I feel like it's the opposite. I feel like they've just gone, like I say, put this game out now. You have to get this game to 1.0 by this date. Don't care what it takes.
But do you think within these companies, do you think like Microsoft under it all did say, put it out now and we'll fix it throughout the time?
I can't say I know that, but I would think that, yeah.
Because I think that's that seems to be kind of there with games these days. Like this, they come out and they're not amazing, and there's issues all over the place, and you kind of have to, as a person who's purchased the game, you have to sit back and just be like, well, I better wait. Like, I'm using as an
example. I wonder if they are now relying on Game Pass.
Well, yeah.
Because how many people are going to go and buy this game?
Yeah.
You know, pay 30, 40 quid or $20 or whatever it is, the different versions of this game. Like, you can be playing it now. I think it's not out till next week at time of recording, but you can be playing it now if you play. You know, they do that thing where you pay a bit more and get the game early. Mm. But, like, how many people are actually going to do that when they know they could pay £10 for a month and get this and Sea of Thieves and try them both? And I wonder if they're relying on that as a get out of, like, well, look, no one's going to be really angry about it because they haven't paid for it, really.
Yeah. I think it's a shitty way of thinking, though. Like,
of course.
Like, for example, I'm still, like, Friday the 13th is still in a very unstable wage, you know, it's still all over the place. And I'm kind of like at this stage going, why are games like this way? Like, why are they being put out in such a like messy state? And then, like, just over time,
why have they been put out in a, why have they been put out in a, state of decay, one might say.
I thought of that straight away when I said it, and I said, I'll leave Adam Cook have this one.
Okay, well, hang on. Let me go again. Give me a chance. Would you say it was wonderful? Wonderful boy? Would you say, Adam? hang on. Adam, would you say, boy, that it's wonderful boy? Would you? You've been playing Wonder Boy.
I've been playing Wonder Boy because I think I would like to know if some of the listeners have the same situation where they have finished God of War and they just don't know what to do with their life after, because that's what's happening. I've been looking at all my games and I've been like, will I just go back and play this or that? And I picked up the Switch and saw that Wonder Boy was on sale for a tenner. It's a game that I've been kind of looking at because it came out last year. So I've been like, that looks pretty nice. I'll wait till it goes down in price. I know fuck all about Wonder Boy, if I'm honest, except the fact that this is a remake of the third Wonder Boy, which came out in 1989. So,
is this a Dragon's Trap?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I reviewed that one. Yeah.
So,
you did, yeah, I remember that.
Okay, this is good. This is good. So, like, if someone turned around to me and said, like, oh, I love Wonder Boy 3, I'd be like, wow, what? Like, am I the only one here? Like, did you know about this franchise before?
Yeah.
Like, for some reason, it just never came into my life.
So hang on. How old are you, Adam, if you don't mind saying on the podcast?
29.
Oh, that's probably why then, because it was a Master System franchise, wasn't it, Chris?
It came out in about, I think it was 89 or 88.
89, yeah.
See, that's weird, because I had a Master System. And this is what's this is what's baffling me. I feel as if, like, Wonder Boy must have existed, but I was way more into Alex Kidd.
Alex Kidd in Wonderland or whatever it's called, yeah.
I think that's what must have happened. But anyway, I got this because it looked really nice and it was only a tenner on the store. So I was like, cool, we go for it. It's cool. Look, it is what it is. It's a platformer. I think the biggest highlights definitely are its visuals, which look so nice.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's so nice because I think the team of Lizard Cube, if I'm right, it's only a two-man team.
Might be, yeah. It's not big.
It's not that big. And like, they're based in Paris or something. But I'm not sure if this is their only game. But I'm interested to see what else they'll do, because the style that they put into this is amazing. Because you can, one of the nicest features as well is you can switch back and forth to the original style of the game, like by just pressing like one of the buttons. You just click and it's instantly into the old style of the game. And it's kind of cool to see that. And the music as well, you get to choose the old style of music or the newly revised style of music. So that's a nice little touch as well. However, I think it's dated definitely in its gameplay. Now, this is, as I said, 1989, so it's expected. But I don't find the fun in this kind of platforming game anymore. I think it's not overly difficult, but it's... You do die a lot because it has that element of, say there's an enemy in front of you and the enemy has this jumping like form and you're like, you have to time when it's going to jump, because if you jump, you're going to meet in the middle and just hit off each other, and you're like, and you're trying to get in to just attack him. And you know, when you're like pressing attack in these kind of games, and you're inches away with your sword, and you kind of go, fuck, I better move back because he's just going to jump on me now. That's what this is. It's just that old school platforming aspect of the game. I'm past it. I can't do it because when you're in a world now where like things like Mario Odyssey and stuff exist, you're like, look, that's platforming now. This is just, the bar is raised. It's hard to go back to play these old school kind of games. But it is still really nice to look at. Like the way it looks is just amazing. That is the number one. That is worth the price of admission alone. But like, I'm not going to spend like too much more talk about it because the story is, it's just very simple, very straightforward. You turn into this like lizard thing, which I personally thought it was a dragon. I think you look more like a dragon than a fucking lizard.
It's a dragon, yeah. It is a dragon. It's a dragon's curse.
Yeah, I thought it was a dragon.
But you're put up as a... Because if you go into, like, the controls, if you just check the control menu, it basically says lizard controls. Which is really baffling, because you just look like a dragon and you're firing fucking fire as well. So, but look, okay. it was just one of those things to kind of see what it was like. I'm happy I have it on the Switch. And if you're looking for a charming little platformer, it's a tenner. Just go for it. But other than that, that's all I've played. I actually did start Red Dead Redemption again, just to kind of, just to get in the mood for the sequel.
Because you need to get in the mood for that game.
I know. But do you know, you kind of want to go back and see like how does it hold up and stuff. And it's still amazing. It is amazing, but it's definitely dating in its visuals quite quickly. I'd wonder, will we ever see a remaster of it down the line?
No, never.
Yeah, but other than that, that's all I've been playing this week. I have a lot more to play this
year
for the next week's episode. So, but at the moment,
same. Like before we jump into news, I want to talk about one of the game. But I should say this is a bit of a slim week this week because I've played and finished Detroit. And he said Beyond Human, but that's a combination of the names of Detroit and Beyond, isn't it? Detroit Become Human, I've played and finished. Chris and I have both been playing a bit of, what's it called? The Sega
Mega Drive Collection Classic Summit on PS4. Yeah.
Thank you. That, and also Chris is playing and another embargo game, which is, go on Chris, it's Space Hulk.
Space Hulk Deathwing. It's a Warhammer 40k game. It was originally on the PC, so again, enhanced now on PS4.
Okay, so we've got a lot we can't talk about yet, but I do want to just briefly mention the Onrush beta, because this is a game I've been looking forward to because of who's behind it. So it's by the studio that sort of came from... You remember when Sony shut Evolution Studios, the people behind MotorStorm and Drive Club? They shut them down. Those guys went off and formed Evo Studios, I think they call it, and Codemasters have them. And this game is... I can't remember if Paul Ryszynski is the director or producer, or it might be both, but he's the guy who kind of... One of the focal points... sort of socially, you know, the front facing of the studio, and is still that now, and he's always been pretty, you know, open and chatty about games and stuff, and so I was always interested in what this was going to be. And I don't want to call it a racing game, because it's not, well, it is, but you know, there are cars and bikes and you race them, but it's more of a, it's kind of reminds me of Burnout, in that like there's a course that sort of just keeps going. And the idea is that there are objectives in each race, and they're not like finish first, not like win the race. Like it's all about boosting, and you've got like when you get full, you get like a meter, like in Overwatch, your ultimate meter builds up to 100%. You hit triangle to use it, and it's got that kind of thing. But like, so one of the objectives is you know it's like, I forget if it's 5 or 6v6, it might even be 8v8, but it's two teams facing off, and you're all racing on the same course at the same time, and you can take each other out like two smashes, and you take someone out, or you can barge people off into a tree or off the course, and that way, this sort of thing. You can smash through these kind of NPC racing cars that just take one hit and they give you boost. You can do tricks on a bike, all this sort of stuff. And it's like one objective race style is like go through the gates, and it's like a timed race, and you as a team go through the most green gates, you win that round. So it's kind of car combat with racing, and it's really cool, and I really, really like this. It's just the beta. The issue so far, I think, is that I worry about content. Like I feel like they're probably nowadays you have to have some sort of campaign. Like you just have to in a game. Yeah. Like, you know, look at, did you play Micro Machines, the Codemasters most recent one?
Yeah. Yeah,
that was rough, man.
Yeah, it was.
Shambles, so light on content. Mm. This can't be that because it would be really, really upsetting. I also have a few issues, and again, these are the sort of things they can fix, I hope, quickly, because it's out in a couple of weeks. June the 5th, I think it's out. But they can fix these. I think there's some collision issues. Like, so one of the ways you can kill someone is if you go off a ramp, you land on them, it's like crushed, and it like goes crushed. And it's very burnout, you know, it really is. Like, you land on them, and I felt like a couple of times I've kind of just had my, almost like my tailpipe clipped, and it's gone crushed, and I'm out. And it's like, then you've got to wait to respawn, and it's not... It's, you know, it's like any multiplayer game, like when you're killed, you respawn. But like some of them, they're like, oh, I'm watching this kill cam and I'm not sure. I also think, and this might be just because it's a beta thing, that some of the... I'm not sure how the scoring works, and the rules sometimes seem a bit confusing. Like, one of them is just like, keep racing and get the most boost. Keep your boost going and you'll get more points. But it's not really clear about that. So I'd like to, hopefully when you get the final game, like, it'll be a bit clearer, you know what I mean? Yeah. But I really, really like this. This is a bit different. And I'm also really, really pleased to see sort of arcade racing games coming back, because I feel like they've disappeared.
That's exactly what I was going to say. First off, I just want to bring up again, this is a bad title. Like,
it's not, well,
Onrush is
once
poor.
You play it, it makes more sense.
Yeah, but, you know.
Because it is kind of an Onrush. You don't stop. It's just perpetually, you hold the boost, keep getting boost, keep going forward, forward, forward. There's no... The track isn't like a circle. It's just a continuous... I don't know if it's a loop, but it does sort of make sense. It has got a little bit of... So, like, I forget the names of the... Like, you know the way I was saying, like, you know, crushed. It's kind of got that voiceover announcer that's a little bit like, I'm not sure. I'm not sure you need to have, you know, someone going crushed or eliminated in a game in 2018. Like, maybe pull that out.
But that's like... That is that old school... thing, like, for these type of games. So, like, I'm wondering, is the market still very strong for this? Because, like,
I hope so.
Like, I look at it and, like, I've yet to still play the recent Burnout Paradise remaster, and like I look at these kind of games and they're so much fun, they are. But I'm wondering, like, will it do well? Like, are people looking for, because there's a great game that people passed on, I think, and that was Blur. And Blur was...
Adam. Oh, my God.
Were you into it?
What a game. Blur. While Mario Kart was not being Mario Kart.
Exactly.
This was it. It came out at the same time as Split Second, and this... Yep. Oh, Blur was brilliant.
Was
like, I think we played a demo of it, myself and my friend Tony, and we literally were like, okay, and we both got in the car, went to Tesco's, bought it, both a copy each there, and I was like, we have to... And that game... Oh, it was done by an injustice. That game was fantastic. It was
fantastic.
Basically like
incredibly
neon,
well
dark
made.
Mario Kart. Oh, brilliant. That was an Activision game as well.
Yeah. So like when that came out, I remember it came out with Split Second at the time, and I was like, these kind of games still, like, I was still like just there kind of thinking, wow, they're still going for it. And I remember getting Blur and just being like, holy shit. I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And it's like after all this time, these like Onrush, another one that's kind of on the way. Pardon the pun. Like, I want another Smuggler's Run. I want another Burnout Paradise. I want another one of these kind of games. But I always feel they just don't do well, because I don't know if the audience is there for them anymore, because people are just all about the PUBG, the Fortnites. That is it now. That is everything that people want in gaming. Do you think there's going to be a group of friends who are like, every weekend, let's go online, let's play some Onrush together? I really hope so, because it looks fun.
God, I hope so. No, it's fun.
Like, it just looks like a lot of fun. And in terms of like the pace of the game, like, is it like, because I remember when MotorStorm came out, everyone was like, oh, it's like fast paced action. I didn't think MotorStorm was like crazy frantic. I just thought
it's a bit quicker than MotorStorm, but the courses are similar in that there's like just like loads of paths, you know, like a down, a middle, and a high. You know what I mean? Like, you can go round. Like, there's definitely probably a quickest route through the course, but like, it's a lot of fun finding out. You know, avoid the trees, go to the right, and you go up a huge ramp, and you're in the air. You can get airtime. Yeah, it's very clear these people made MotorStorm, I think.
Yeah.
But I really liked those games. Like, I would. Because there wasn't a MotorStorm on PS4, was there? Because they did Drive Club. I'd love a remaster of MotorStorm Apocalypse or something. Like, you know, I don't know. I liked what they were doing.
Because do you ever think as well, like this kind of game, racing to the objective, right? I always feel, considering how much developers like to say this is twice the size of Skyrim and everything else that exists in the world, I think that a developer should come out with this style of game, say that it's like the biggest game on the planet, and go, cool, that's fine because I'm in a car all the time. And it would be kind of fun to have this whole, there's an objective, and everyone goes different routes, and you don't know which route that person...
I'm kind of of the opinion that, like, games like Forza Horizon I love, but, like, there's enough games doing the open world thing, like, I kind of don't need my racing games to be open world as well. I don't mind it. Like, Burnout Paradise is one of my favourites of all time, but I don't need every racing game to be open world. Well, we've got some news on racing games, so I'll tell you what, let's jump into news. Just a quick update on Rage 2. We obviously recorded before the announcement. Guess what? It was Rage 2. It's Avalanche and ID, or ID, however you pronounce it. I can't actually remember. It's ID, isn't it? ID Software.
I think it's ID, yeah.
And Avalanche are the people who did the Just Cause games. And they've shown some gameplay now, and it's coming out in 2019 for Xbox One, PS4, and PC. People were a bit annoyed it wasn't coming to Switch. Come on, get hold of yourselves, lads. seriously. It's seriously, fucking come on now. But, you know, looks good, looks like more Rage. Bit concerned that it's going to be this massive open world thing, but, you know, it's not much to go on at the moment.
I think Rage 2 is going to be excellent. I think it's going to be a lot.
I think it will too.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think it's just going to be completely over the top. I am, however, it's a small criticism. I'm a bit disappointed that it's going for the whole Watch Dogs 2 pink kind of thing. I'm kind of
I thought it was more Mad Max.
Well, it's a bit of Mad Max as well, but, like, I don't know. Instantly, the characters are very generic from what I see, these bandit kind of things. I know that's the way Rage was, but it seems to be all, like, about neon colours now. And it's amazing that that's still kind of going on. I hope it's... Look, it probably might be amazing. I could eat these words when I'm playing Rage 2, and I could end up saying, I love when you... blow through a load of pink smoke. I could easily end up saying that come gameplay time.
Yeah,
well, they did. Avalanche did Mad Max anyway, didn't they?
They did. Yeah.
So they've got that experience with that kind of world. So yeah, I'm well up for it.
I'm up for the idea of an ID game, like, you know, Doom style shooter, but with Avalanche style madness of open world. Like, that could actually be incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll find out more, but, you know. Go on.
Mad Max is also quite underrated.
Yeah.
That's very. That's well, a really not by good me, game. But I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, not by this site. We gave it, I can't remember what we gave it. Eight, possibly. Mm. I was going to say the eighth game in the series, but we're way more than that in now. We finally know more about Black Ops 4. Where the hell do we start? So, okay, first of all, it is coming out on... Hang on a second. There's a lot of news here.
October 12th.
If you pre-order, you'll get access to the private beta. It's going to be on PC, exclusive to Battle.net. Not a shock. That's what Activision did with Destiny. There is, as rumoured, going to be no traditional campaign. There is going to be zombies. There is going to be multiplayer. And there is going to be a Battle Royale mode. What on earth do we make of all this? There's a lot of info.
I don't know. The Battle Royale, right? I'm not growing tired of it. But I also don't want people to just use it for the sake of it. However, with a Call of Duty first-person battle royale, with the caliber of games they make, I'm very excited to see how this is going to be and the scope 100%. Of it. You know, like, if it's 100, if it's 20, if it's 30, I think it's still going to be massively impressive. So, yeah, I'm 100% up for the battle royale. And the zombies, I assume, will just be more of the same as we featured before.
Do you know what? I think, like you said there, though, I would love to... Because, like, PUBG didn't start out this multi-million-dollar making thing.
No.
Fortnite was the same. They both kind of lucked into it. They saw a thing and went for it. This is different. Yep. This is Activision with lots of money going, we want a slice of that pie. That's very exciting to me.
Mm.
You know? Like you said, the calibre of the studio plus the budget. Like, this could be... This could be really cool.
And the thing is,
why wouldn't it be?
If they incorporate the zombies into some battle royale style thing, it could be like Left 4 Dead. Like, if you've got waves of zombies, you know, it could be something really special. So I'm pretty excited.
Fair enough, Adam. Yourself?
I'm probably one of the low percentage that will say that I'm disappointed about the campaign.
So this is another part actually that's come out recently that like someone's been, I think someone looked and like, was it 4% of people finished? No, was it like 24%? It was a low percentage of people got like the trophy for completing the campaign. And I think the argument is that's fine, but those people really enjoyed the campaign. And I've reviewed them for various publications for the last few years, and I've obviously gone through the campaigns and enjoyed them immensely. Like Infinite Warfare?
Advanced Warfare is the good one.
Infinite Warfare had a great story where it had like side quests and stuff in space, but the multiplayer I thought was terrible. And like then they went back to the boots on the ground last year, and I don't know, like Black Ops is a good game usually. I never actually finished Black Ops 3, I don't think. I can't remember. I'm sure there was one, I don't remember if I finished it or not. Maybe it was Black Ops 2. But I feel like I'd like to try those stories again, but I don't know, it's probably the time's passed now. Yeah. But, I think there's stuff to be excited about here, don't you? Or not?
Yeah.
Like, it's definitely an exciting time, and I think, like, at least it's not your typical yearly release again of Call of Duty. There's something new, and there's conversations to be had about the future of the franchise. When I thought, really, this was going to be the last ever one, I feel like they're going to do kind of well with the whole Battle.net thing and stuff, but me personally, I'm not a competitive gamer. I don't play online to like break my television screen. I play to enjoy games. And the single player campaign is something that I actually always did enjoy within Call of Duty. And I always felt that like there was still a room for like a really good campaign again to come into place. I really did. But at the same time, they were getting shorter and shorter every release, and I was like, they're just gonna cut it. And I think everybody knew that they were going to probably cut this. But it's a shame because there's something nice to play this over-the-top blockbuster. Do you know? It's like, look at how this is. And it's enjoyable to play for the 5 hours. But
it's also like, I think this means we'll see less reviews of the game because obviously we've been to the review events. In fact, it's weird. But I don't know if there's a God is a Geek global conspiracy, but we've been cut out a lot of access recently. Like we didn't get invited to the Black Ops preview. We didn't get invited to the Kingdom Hearts preview. We didn't get invited to the Tomb Raider preview. I don't know what we've done to upset people. I guess if we're pissing people off, we must be doing something right. I don't know. But like, if there's no campaign to play through, then it'll be like Destiny, and Activision will just say, like, well, no reviews because we're waiting for the servers to go live. So there is that. But let's stick with multiplayer stuff because No Man's Sky is coming out on Xbox One on July the 27th, and on that same day, that big update is coming. I'm trying to remember the name of the bloody update. I can't remember the name of the update, but essentially, it's bringing multiplayer to the game.
So next, is that it?
Next, No Man's Sky next, yeah. July 27th, so a couple of months away. It's going to be on all platforms and it will have multiplayer.
Cool.
It's cool. Promise fulfilled.
I'm not going to go bang on about how disappointing it was on release, but there was clearly a vision behind it that Sean Murray and Hello Games wanted, and I'm kind of happy for him. We don't know what went on behind the scenes. We don't know if it was Sony or whether they'd said all these things that weren't going to come true, but there clearly was multiplayer being planned because he even said it in interviews before the game came out. And it's gonna realize the vision he's had for it for a while. And the last few updates have actually added a lot to the game. But that one thing that is missing.
I keep meaning to install that game.
It's good, but it's play it again. I installed it a couple of months ago and played it, but it's still missing what it needs, and it is the multiplayer. Like I can't wait to just go around.
Yeah,
we've like say we're just on it and we're just flying around and we can go and attack people. They can attack us. We can be dossing about on a planet and then we get attacked. That's what I want. And I think if it works, it could get like seriously like up there to like Fortnite sort of levels. Because this was a game that everyone craved because they thought it had multiplayer. And just the thought of it, I think this is a big if as well. If it's done right, it will get a hell of a lot more people playing. But there's not enough information about how the multiplayer is going to play, whether there'll be missions or whether it'll just be twatting about in the universe, because as a player on your own, it can get a bit boring. So there's got to be kind of a drive to it or a structure to it for it to really kick off. But I think if it is done right, it could do really well.
As like No Man's Sky for me, just comes across like that kid who joins the local football team who has massive dreams to be a famous star and does not give up and is always picked last, but just does not give up. Is constantly like, I am going to get your attention. I am going to like be there. And it's quite funny, since No Man's Sky has come out, that we are still today, like, there's news about it. We are talking about it. Mm. And like, I still have not even played it. But there's no reason why. Like, I remember when it first came out, it was just people were like, oh, it's a bit bare. There's not much happening in the game. And then people went away from it. But that was kind of it. But I'm still up for trying this game. And if the definitive edition of it comes out and like they're all like, yeah, this is exactly how it was supposed to be from day one, it would be quite a story. Like, if everyone all of a sudden is on the No Man's Sky train again and we're all like, yeah, it's amazing. I really hope it does happen, because it would be a very cool thing to talk about. So yeah, we'll see.
Well, someone we won't be talking about for a little while, because he's taking a break from the industry. To quote him, video games will forever be a part of who I am, and I hope to make something new again someday. However, I need to withdraw and take this time. It's Cliff Bleszinski, who has basically closed Boss Key Productions down after I don't take no pleasure in saying failure, but there's no other way of putting it, of Lawbreakers, yeah, which was a good game, by the way. Actually was a good game. But after that went under, they went to Radical Heights, and, well, look, Let's read the statement that he put on Twitter. As of today, Boss Key Productions is effectively no more. 4 years ago, I set out to make a world-class video game studio, and I hired some of the best talent in the industry. They worked tirelessly to produce quality products, and while we had our ups and downs, I'd like to think we had fun doing it. Lawbreakers was a great game that unfortunately failed to gain traction, and in a last-ditch attempt, we scrambled to make our take on the huge battle royale genre with Radical Heights, which was well-received. However, it was too little too late. Then there's the bit about him disappearing for a bit. To those who have supported myself in the studio for the last few years, thank you from the bottom of my heart, and everyone who came to work for me. Please note the service of Radical Heights will remain up for the near future. Not much we can add, I suppose, other than to say I really hope that the people who don't have jobs anymore find jobs quickly, mm-hmm, obviously. I don't know. I mean, I think he says as much, that the writing was on the wall a little bit, and it was, and, you know, I say it's a shame, but I think, you know, Lawbreakers didn't get traction, but it was a good game. I don't know, I didn't play Radical Heights. Hopefully nobody's ploughed too much money into that, like, in terms of the consumer, because obviously that's not going to be around. But yeah, I mean, there's nothing much to add, is there, other than to just say no, that sucks for the people involved, and
yeah,
hope everyone finds their feet pretty quickly.
Yeah.
You know, just sucks. Something that also sucks is Shenmue 3, probably. I haven't played it. I'm going to guess it won't be very good. But it's been delayed to 2019 to polish the quality of the game even further. I think this is going to be a huge letdown for you, everyone who loves Shenmue.
Right, no,
sorry.
I 100% agree with you. I 100% agree. When it was announced, I was like, this is amazing. And then he said it was going through Kickstarter. I was like, nope. The first game was made like $200 million plus to make, and that was all the way back then. They needed, what was it? How much did they need? $6 million or something?
Oh, it was a lot.
That's fucking ridiculous. Like, you're not going to make a better game than that. So, and with the kind of, they did all the tier systems, and their tier systems, like, if you put this much in, we'll get a new shade of green for the trees in his front garden. It was like that kind of ridiculous. I stopped. I took my back in a way. I just thought, this isn't what I want to play. I don't want this. I wanted it to be natural. The story completely needs a conclusion, but this, I think, is going to just be horrendous. But at least we're going to get to see the first two.
Yeah, at least you'll get it, yeah. You know, well, yeah, at least you will get to see a conclusion. I mean, I think that Shenmue 3 will end with a cliffhanger for Shenmue 4. I actually do. And I think,
don't.
You know. anyway, but that's not the only game getting delayed, because Metro Exodus, remember that game that blew everyone away at E3 on Xbox's stage? That's been delayed into Q1 2019 as well.
Yeah.
You know, these are all going to be quality things.
Yeah, more for next year.
Yeah, absolutely. There's far fewer a few quick stories as well here. So The Crew 2. which everyone seems to be a bit down on, but I actually think it looks really bloody cool. The closed beta begins on May the 31st. This is a game where you can be driving as a car. I think you press up or down on a D-pad or whatever, and now you just turn into a plane and fly off. And that's just,
what?
I think that's really cool.
I'm down for that, yeah.
Other quick news, Battle Royales, we talked about them a bit. PUBG Mobile is now at 10 million daily active users. And Fortnite is finally coming to Android this summer with future iOS updates. Oh, yeah, of course you're Android.
Yeah, I Googled
it. Well, you're not. Sorry, you're an Android user.
Yeah. I searched for it the other day because I wasn't really sure and it wasn't there. And I was like, oh. And then that news came out like the day after. So, brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, the only disappointing thing for me is that I've got one of those game vices that, like, you can basically get your phone and clip it into and turn it into, like, a Switch, essentially.
Oh, wow.
And they still haven't allowed that on iOS.
Yeah.
I tried it today. When I saw that this news about, like, all the controls are updated, I was like, Fortnite on mobile with this little controller that fits in my pocket. Oh, yes, and no, unfortunately not. But it did mean I had to go on Bastion on iOS and remind me how amazing Bastion is, but... Yeah, there's actually a massive blog on Game Voices thing about Fortnite saying, look, listen, we hear you. We can't do anything about this. Game Voice works by basically you plug it in and it turns into the natural controls. But because Epic have blah, 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 they have to switch this on. We bug them. We love hearing from you, by the way, but bug them. Like, it's almost like it's the panicking of someone who's getting a million tweets. Like, please, please. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah,
just while we're talking about mobile games, I was browsing the store the other day and they finally released Florence on Android. So I haven't yet played it. I haven't bought it yet, but I will. I just thought I'd mention it because
you're very short, but
you're going to love that game. So yeah, I think I will. But it's cool that it's reached Android. So yeah, I'm going to get that.
Absolutely. And finally this week, Ubisoft have announced their financials and Far Cry 5, its first week sales hit $310 million, which is Ubisoft's second biggest release ever. So that game did very well. Some other stats from the financials, they sent this out in an email to us. Rainbow Six Siege has still got more than 30 million registered players. The Division has still got more than 20 million. Been thinking about reinstalling The Division because I really like that game. And Ghost Recon Wildlands has more than 10 million registered players. So there's a lot of people playing Ubisoft games.
I think I might have said this before, but would I like The Division?
That's a very difficult question to answer.
Like, yeah.
I think you'd enjoy Wildlands.
People should tell
more.
Me. I think the listeners need to tell me if I should play The Division or not. I think that's an
I like The Division because it's basically, I like the setting and I like, it's kind of like the Diablo style, you know, numbers go up, the levels go up. And the thing is, The Division changed so dramatically from the original game that they added a DLC you could get that was like a survival mode where you go into a separate zone and it's all like cold and you're constantly dying slowly. And that was a whole different mode. There's... Like the Dark Zone stuff is still cool, but it needs developing more for the sequel. I think The Division is a really good game. Like I was hyped for it when I saw it. It looked like they'd made a game perfectly for me. I still think it's... I keep thinking about going back to it. I really like The Division. But would you like it? I mean, is it cheap? You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, it is going for cheap a lot of the time, so...
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Chris, you've got it on PS4, right?
Yeah. I was just about to say, do you...
We
were going on about doing like a series where we go back to it. So I think that will make a good starting point because so much has happened since. We could give it a blast. Yeah, definitely.
I think you'd definitely like The Division. It's whether you'd stick with it or whether you'd fall off of it.
It just depends on the level of fun and if, like...
It's better with your mates. Yeah. You know, shooting stuff.
Is there a lot of looting?
Yeah.
I'd probably stick with it. Like,
oh, the Dark Zone, though. The Dark Zone's amazing.
Yeah, see...
Which is like this bit in the middle where it's like partly PvP. It's wicked.
We should do it together because I feel ye have played it. I'll be going in there completely new and it would make an interesting like concept of like someone who's coming in as it is now and... people who have been there since day one and how they feel about it now.
I will download it. It's probably going to be about 60 gigabytes because it's a Ubisoft game.
Oh, fuck yeah.
And at this point, you know, but yeah, I will. Let's move on to listener correspondence and a question I'm going to really, really struggle to answer from Chris Hyde at Chris Hyde 83. Which game review for God is a Geek have you most enjoyed writing and why? This is a weird question. I tell you what, I can answer it, but I can't say too much. I've written my Detroit review, and I really enjoyed writing that. I just can't tell you why, because I think there's a sort of joke in there that is. I've mentioned it to a few friends who are also reviewing it, and if any one of those fuckers steals it, I am gonna call them out because I think it's terrific. So Detroit is the most recent one. I can't think of many reviews I've loved writing. Chris, I know, Adam, you haven't reviewed any games for the site. So, Chris, if you can think of any while I frantically search my own name up and try and remember one I can
I did have a think, but, like, there's been so many that I can't really...
You've reviewed a lot.
Yeah, I can't really remember any. I remember moments of reviews where I think back and I really liked it. Like, I can't even remember the game, but it was so shit. And you were like a Coast Guard. It was a PC game. I remember talking about the acting and saying something like, it's like a porn film without the sex. Like, the acting was that dreadful because they were just shit. So
I quite enjoyed Kirby, the recent Kirby.
Yeah.
Because it's not often you rank a game lower than 5.
Yeah. I'm going to quickly just tweak this question a small bit to say what review
Celeste,
I
enjoyed writing.
What review I would have loved to have done and probably would 100% have enjoyed it is The Witcher 3. Because I think when I played that, I was just so, so in love with it that every aspect of the game would have been just an absolute joy to write about. That's what
but
I would
you
have
see,
picked if
but
I did
you
it.
See, if you'd been reviewing it, you'd have been in my shoes and stressed to fuck because it's like...
So
oh
much.
God, this game is so long, and I thought I had it early, and it's not early enough. This game's so long. Mario Odyssey was a fun one to write, but it's kind of a bit not on the numbers, but it was, you know, I don't think back and think, oh, what a great review I wrote. But then I don't think that often, Chris.
Shadow of War.
Okay,
just not talking about the game, but just the review. I remember finishing it, and it was like a fucking paper. It was like a university assignment. It's like the longest review I'd ever written, but it was also as concise as possible. And I just really enjoyed. I'm really proud of that one. So yeah, probably Shadow of War, that stands out the most. Yeah.
Do you know? Like, I tell you, a review I enjoy writing regularly is the PES review and FIFA reviews.
Yeah.
Right now, the reason I like writing them is because, do you know what? There's not many things I genuinely will stand there and, you know what, I know what I'm talking about. I fucking know my football. I do know not my football. You know, I literally coach youth football. I know my football. I study football. I watch football. I've played football games all my life. Like, I love writing football reviews because it gives me a chance to combine two things I love and really get kind of down into the nitty-gritty of it as well. Like, really talk football on a level, like, you know, where we're talking the minutia. And I've done it less in most recent years because, you know, how many times can you say the same thing? But I really enjoyed that. I'm trying to find it, but there's a review I quite like writing about tech. I reviewed one of the iPhones and I enjoyed, like, just making allusions to having a huge penis, and like, I always enjoy stuff like that. Like,
I have another review that you wrote, Adam, that I think like I absolutely loved it at the time because there was such a big hype around it. And I remember exactly where I was when the review went live on the site, and that was Batman Arkham Knight. I was
fucking love that with. Is a great shout. And the reason that is a great shout is because that brings Chris into the picture in a beautiful manner.
Yeah.
And also, I remember where I was when the review code came in. It was debug PS4 code. And I was on I was on holiday. And all of a sudden, I was like, I want to go home. I to this day do not give a flying fuck about the retrograde history on that. I still think that game is incredible.
That game is fucking incredible. And I remember when I was reading it, I was at a cafe with my girlfriend and the review went live. I read it and I remember turning to her because she has to listen to every single one of my video game stories. And I'm just like, holy shit, God, as a Geek gave a 10 out of 10. I need the game right now. And I remember being so excited reading you explaining the Batmobile and stuff and certain moments. And do you know when you read a review that obviously is not spoilers And when you play the game, the moments of the review come into the game and you go, oh my God, this is the part that they're on about. This is amazing.
Yep.
That was a really exciting time because of the hype that was surrounding that game.
Well, that's another game, by the way, I've been thinking about playing again recently.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I was at work and I was reading, because it was coming out and I was reading all the reviews. I read a few and they all slated the Batmobile. And then I read Adam's review, and I wasn't at the site at this point. I remember reading about the Batmobile, and you were like really into it. And I remember the writing style as well, because it was very just on a level which you were talking to me. You weren't preaching about graphics or anything. It was just very personable review. And from that, I emailed the site and asked if there are any positions.
Yeah.
And that,
I remember it,
based
actually.
On that review, quality. And that's that great. Style, so that's how I kind of became a part of it. And that's a style of writing that still exists now, and it just brings. That's why we're fucking amazing. So yeah,
of course. I mean, this is just. I mean, he never really meant. He never actually put this tweet. It was just I made it up so I could, you know, pat us on the back. I'm still going through reviews trying to find another one that really. But unfortunately, the only easy way of doing it is just going through everything I've ever written. So I've made it back to March 2016. And nothing's really spring. I've got to page 37. Remember Family Gamer? Do you remember we used to do that?
Yeah.
I'm page 38 now. I'm going to keep scrolling.
Thanks much. Hang on,
Firewatch. I enjoyed writing Firewatch.
No, I'm going to say it right now. Adam Cookie, I think you just said
that
it briefly.
That Dragon Cancer.
The creme de la creme, Breath of the Wild. That was it.
Yeah, I don't remember much about the review. Like, that Dragon Cancer, I remember it was a game I wanted to review because my dad died of cancer. And it gave me the opportunity to write one of the most personal things I've ever written in a review. Because I'm always I'm old enough to be curious, but also be concerned about how much have we put on ourselves online. And so, with that in mind, I was like, I'm actually going to share the fact, you know, my dad died of cancer, and it was easy to write, but it was also hard to write, but it was also nice. Do you know what I mean? It was nice to...
I do remember when you played that game, you were messaging me and you told me this exact thing, and you were like, it's just hit me in a completely different way that video games have ever done before. And I was like, yeah, that's understandable.
Yeah, I'm 100%. I mean, I literally can't find... I mean, Guitar Hero Live, can't believe that was 2015, lads.
Wow.
But I enjoyed writing that because I enjoyed... I'm also seeing a lot of... We used to do more work with thumbnails. There's a lot of thumbnails of me and Colin looking very strange here. So let's move on to Gary. Couldn't be on the pod this week either, but he did. He put a question for the pod in our Discord. With Call of Duty now moving into Battle Royale market, can we expect more big names to follow suit? Battlefield 5 or V? I think that's V for victory, probably. Halo 6, following up, are there any series of developers you would like to see joining the Battle Royale genre? I'm just going to answer for everyone and say, yes, we're definitely going to get more big names doing it. Absolutely, 100% going to get more people doing it. And I'm going to say I'd quite like to see a game like Onrush do it, like 100 cars drop into a map. Destruction Derby, essentially.
Oh,
I'd like to see Destruction Derby come back and be a battle royale. There you go.
That's amazing. Done.
And that's another one that if anyone steals, I'm going to call you out. Any other games?
Battle Royale. No, I don't know. See, I'm not invested in Battle Royale yet, so...
What about a fighting game? But it'd have to be a 3D fighting game, I guess.
But what kind of style? Like,
well, it'd have to... I was going to say Tekken, but I don't think that would work.
Like fucking...
You know?
No.
Yeah, it's a hard one to figure out.
Something like Naruto they could do it with, because that's kind of fully 3D, isn't it? And that'd work, but it's too niche, I think.
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, Animal Crossing, like, Battle Royale?
Yeah.
Or the Wonderful 101.
Battle Royale. Hang on, go
Animal
back
Crossing
a second.
Battle Royale, yeah. Yeah, but there's no fighting. It's just who can get the coolest swag or something within... I don't
Jesus.
Know. Do you know Hitman? In Hitman Season 2, I'd like to see some kind of multiplayer that...
Oh, wow.
Know,
yeah.
You know, like a Hitman, Assassin's Creed style
multiplayer. Oh, man. That'd be amazing.
That would be amazing.
I'm available for consultancy work, lads. It's fine.
Oh, yeah, like a packed, like the Paris level on the first one. There's just like real people within the. And there's no like markers. So
well,
you, Oh,
there's a game. What's that game?
That would be amazing.
It's not Spy versus Spy or something that's not a battle royale, but it is kind of like one person's a spy and the other people are party guests, but you have to work out which one's which and just take them out with a sniper rifle. And like, I can't remember the name of the game. It's really annoying. I was going to check it out, but yeah, I don't know. Yeah, battle royale, not going away. And moving on to this one, which is from Dane via Discord. This is a long question, so I'm going to read it now. Adam Carroll said something very interesting on the pod last week. First of all, that's nice to know. Thank you.
Thank you.
He can never play as the bad guy, and neither can I. Often I'll start a game and think, this is the one, I'm going to kill everyone and take their breakfast. When the opportunity presents itself, I just can't do it. Has anyone ever played through a game from start to finish as the bad guy? What impact did playing this have on the overall experience? Did it make it more difficult? Or can you recommend any games? I realise this excludes Adam Carroll from the question, so maybe he can tell us why he feels the way he does. Do you want to go first, or should we, Adam?
I can answer that, the ending of that question, quite quickly. Well, going back to saying, have I ever played a game as a bad guy? I played Skyrim briefly as a bad person, but I didn't actually enjoy it. But the reason, the reason I don't do it is because I think I've played too many games that gives you a game over if you play the game bad.
Gotcha.
Like when you're guiding somebody, like if you're playing GTA or something and you're in a car with an NPC and you're driving along and it tells you not to kill civilians and then by chance you might knock over civilians, like, game over, you should not kill civilians. I think I'm so used to being greeted with that kind of aspect within games that's why when I was given the option to be bad, I'm like, I don't want to because I don't feel like I'm playing the game correctly. So it's kind of, it's that along with, I don't think being bad in games has been actually done well. Now, correct me if I'm wrong there, but it always seems like if you're bad in a game, it's more like you're just messing.
I can
you're
make
just
one big example.
Go on, yeah.
Well, I was going to just add to what you said and say, like, this is going to really sound like I'm just sort of bigging myself up. Like, I am I'm quite a nice person in real life, like, to a flaw. Like, one of the...
You keep saying that.
One of the qualities I wish I could kick myself out of is to... I don't want to say I let people walk all over me, because that's not the case, but, like, I will help people even when it's actually a detriment to myself. Like, say I've got work to do, and I've got a deadline, but someone asks me for help, I drop what I'm doing and I help them. That is, many would argue, a lovely quality, but I wish sometimes I could say no to people and just like, no, sorry, I'm going to be selfish for 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. So that's why I don't do it often. The only game I remember doing it was in Infamous 2, because I wanted to platinum that game, or was it the first one? It might have been both. I wanted to platinum that game, both of them. And one of them, I did it all the good playthrough and all the bad playthrough. And that was different because there were different powers when you went through bad, and the bad powers were horrible. They were like, you just kill people in that game. Mm. But it was going to get me the platinum. And then I think there were shards that you had to collect in the game. And I think I found a bug or a glitch, because I spent about 15 to 20 hours trying to find that last shard and I never could. So it was all for naught, essentially. So that's what I'm saying. The moral of the story is, don't be bad, because it's all for bad. It's all for naught.
Well... Yeah, I don't know. It's very... there's also an element as well, though, that when a lot of games that come out don't promote the protagonist as the bad person. It's always
that one,
like...
That one definitely was both, though. That was like, you get to choose. And, yeah. But yeah, I don't do it often because I can't. I can't be nasty. I think it's a poor quality, because I think you need to have a little bit of nastiness in you just to be able to be like, fuck off, don't take advantage of me. But I just don't have it in me, and I think it's my... one of my biggest character flaws, which really makes me sound like I'm just so good and pure and nice. Like, but I hate it. I wish I could be a cunt. I really do.
I'd also say as well, the only bad character I ever played that I was like, yeah, he is brilliant, is Trevor from GTA 5. Like,
okay,
when you play him, he's just an absolute disaster.
You don't have a choice there.
You don't have a choice.
Yeah, you have to play him.
But it's still. But if I had a choice to be bad or be good with Trevor, I'd probably be bad then, because the character makes sense. He's designed that way. Yeah. It's really difficult when you're playing something like Infamous and you're going around and you can save civilians or you can just fucking destroy them. And you're supposed to be a hero realistically. So that's where it's kind of weird. But There's a lot of people who do choose to be bad in games, and it's they say it in such a like straight, like, oh, I went down the bad route this time.
Blasé
like,
about it.
When they play Mass Effect or something, oh, I went bad this time, and you're like, but why?
I've not done it in Mass Effect.
See, like, it doesn't really.
I've got a game that I will always be bad in, and that's WWE 2K.
Okay,
always a heel because it's much more fun. And I like putting people through tables and shit like that. I know that's not what we're talking about, but like I'm always a heel in that just because it's more fun. The villain, the baddies are always kind of like the better characters.
I also
just want to quickly say it's a fun idea, like even for listeners at home, to think of the games that you love and the characters you love, and if you were given the choice to be bad, would you actually do it? Like, imagine all of a sudden, the next Zelda comes out, we are given this. We are given the option to be bad or good Link. 99.9% of people will not play bad Link.
Of course not.
Like, it's a weird thing, and I don't know if it's like, if it says much about the person, or just, like, because if someone says they're bad, do you kind of look at them and go, why, do you have a bit of a dark streak about you, or are you just interested to see how the game plays out? It's an unusual element within a video game, I think.
Moving on. Chris, not moving on. Chris, have you got any that you've played baddies in?
No, I can't. I play myself.
Yeah, exactly.
You're way too nice, Chris.
What would Jesus do, but what would Chris do? So if I'm in a situation where I think, would Chris do that? And I wouldn't do it, then I don't do it.
It's such a, and it makes me feel stupid because I'm the same. Well, apart from the Jesus bit, obviously. But like, I think about how we play games for escapism, and then I just play them as myself. Yeah. And I think, you twat.
Yeah.
You tosser. Play. Just do something different. You could, you know. Anyway, thank you very much for listening to the God is a Geek podcast this week. I'm at GBSF on Twitter, and Adam's at Adam Zokes, and Chris is at First Avenger 83. You can also get more of us if you go to patreon.com/godisgeek, and it's basically like a membership service where for $1 a month, so $12 a year, more if you want, but that's the minimum, is $12 a year, you'll get this podcast longer, where we've just literally, you won't hear this, but if you do go to Patreon, you'll have heard a bit about Deadpool 2, Evil Genius, Atlanta, I've forgotten what I talked about, oh, doesn't matter. Lots of stuff. patreon.com/GodIsAGeek, $1. You get that not only extended with those bits I've just talked about, or forgotten I talked about, but you get it longer and earlier. That's the important part. Earlier. You get an earlier podcast. That's the premium podcast. You also get early videos, extra videos, all sorts of stuff. We try and make it worth that $1 a month. And of course, remember, that is a monthly thing, whereas the podcast is weekly. So for $1 a month, you get at least 4 early extended podcasts. Thank you very, very much for being here, you two, Adam and Chris. Nice to talk to you guys, as always.
Thank you.
And if you want to find us on Twitter or anything like that, just type in God is a Geek into Google, you know, Facebook. Listen, you surely know by now. But also, if you could rate and review us on iTunes, that helps massively too. Thank you very much for listening, and we will speak to you next week or whenever you choose to listen. Bye-bye for now.